Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on homosexuality.
All this week we've been looking at a detailed study of the subject of homosexuality. And in Romans chapter 1, probably the clearest passage in all the Bible which condemns this sin is found in verses 26 and 27. It says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." And as we've been doing all week, I want to read to you once again from Dr. Hart his commentary or explanation of this portion of Scripture. He says, "This is a Jewish Paul looking across the Mediterranean at the Greco-Roman culture. Homosexuality is not the focus of his condemnation, but just one item on a list. Paul's explanation for all of this is that they have refused to acknowledge God, therefore God has given them up to their own wicked desires. The person Paul describes differ in two significant respects from all or most of the gay people we find in our church. First, the latter had been Christian believers from birth and had lived generally upright lives. Two, they have not chosen to set aside heterosexuality for homosexuality. The orientation that most Christian gay people find themselves in is homosexual. It is possible that Paul did not understand genuine homosexuality." So his basic argument is this: there are those that are born naturally with the desire to be a homosexual. Paul is not talking about those individuals. He is talking about or has in mind those individuals who are born with a straight lifestyle but yet choose to go against that nature and commit the sin of homosexuality. And basically that is the standard way that the homosexual, pro-homosexual community interpret Romans chapter 1. They say basically people are born that way. People are born with the desire, a natural desire, to have sex with the same sex. And so they are not violating this portion of Scripture because it's not against their natural desires. They're not going against the natural desires that they were born with or that God had given to them. So this passage does not apply to them. Well, interesting enough, this is the argument that is called constitutional homosexuality, or that it's within the makeup of the individual that they're born a homosexual. Those that follow this line of argument saying this passage does not apply, we are born that way, it's part of our genetic makeup, we inherit it, thus this passage does not apply to us. That definitely seems to be a way of looking at the Bible with a bias and missing the main application of this passage and looking for another interpretation which will justify their conduct. It's almost you have to read the Scriptures with a direct bent of trying to prove that homosexuality is acceptable to God when you come up with that sort of interpretation. Well, let's look at, once again, the context of this portion and see, is that what Paul is talking about? Is he talking about people that were born straight and chose the gay lifestyle, or is he talking about individuals going against the natural use of men and women in the sexual relationship? First of all, the context starts in verse 18, which says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." So the passage here says that God is angry. And the Greek word here is the Greek word orge, which means a settled indignation. There's another Greek word, thumos, which means an outburst of anger. That's not the word that Paul chose to use to describe the wrath of God here. It's God's settled anger towards man who has rejected him, and then God gives him over to a lifestyle of sin. So the context here is that of judgment, that God is angry with sin and is going to eventually bring his eternal judgments. The second context deals with the fact that in verses 19 through 23, Paul is talking about what theologians call general revelation, or revelation that is available to everybody. Paul is discussing in this portion of the Scripture the fact that everybody has access to certain aspects of the knowledge of God. Through his creation, it says that his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So it says that everybody should be able to see that God is eternally powerful and that God exists by looking at creation. But the problem is that men are suppressing that truth, holding that truth back. And so Paul says in the end of verse 20, so that they are without excuse. So everyone is held accountable for this knowledge that they should have. And then what happens is man began to be prideful and foolish and began to worship all sorts of gods, gods made in the image and likeness of animals, as well as gods made in the image and likeness of man. And then it says three times in verses 24 through 28, therefore God gave them up. So God turns them over to their own sin because they have first rejected him. That's the setting. First of all, God's anger. Second of all, man has rejected the truth of God, so they've been given over to sin. Let me read some of the ways that this setting has been described. In verse 24, it speaks about uncleanness and the lust of their hearts. Verse 24b speaks of dishonoring their bodies. Verse 26 speaks of vile passions. Verse 26 speaks of abandoning the natural use. Verse 27 speaks about burning in their lust. Verse 27b speaks about shameful things. Verse 27c says the penalty of their error, which was due to them. Then verse 28 speaks of a debased mind. And verse 28b says those things which are not fitting. So the context here is that God turns people over to their own sins. And the one that is particularly singled out here is lust of uncleanness, burning passion, culminating here in the sin of lesbianism and homosexuality. So the context here of the wrath of God, because men have rejected the revelation of God, are now turned over to their own devices, their own sinful ways, their own sinful passions. And so here in this section, Paul then singles out homosexuality in verse 26 and verse 27. Paul in verse 26 speaks of the women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. Now, what the pro-homosexual group wants to say is that here women are born with a natural desire to be with women, and men are born with a natural desire to be with men, or at least some men are and some women are. Well, if you look at the passage carefully, Paul says nothing in verse 26 or verse 27 about natural desire. What he says is he uses the word natural use. The word natural here does mean something that is intrinsic, something which is born into a person, but he doesn't say the natural desire. He uses the word use. And the word use here means function. So what Paul is talking about here is not natural desires, but about natural function. He said there's a function for the men, there's a function for the women, and both of them have exchanged that function. Rather than men being with women, it's women with women and men with men. This is an extremely important point, this word use here. It only has one meaning, and that's the word function. Let me illustrate it this way. When you design something like a tool, like a hammer, it's designed specifically with one end to be able to hammer the nail in, or if you want to take it out, the other end has a claw on it to be able to rip something out. That's the natural use, the natural design, the natural function of that hammer. Now, it can be used in other ways. It can be used, for example, as a screwdriver. And maybe you're trying to get a big screw out of a piece of wood or out of a piece of metal, and you use the claw end of it. Well, that claw may break. It may chip off because that's not the natural use of that hammer. God says here that a woman has a natural use sexually and men have a natural function or use sexually. And this function has been perverted or exchanged. Now, in order to understand what the natural use is, we have the very words of Jesus Christ. When they asked him about marriage and divorce, Jesus responded in Matthew 19, verse 5, by saying that God originally designed them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The natural design for the sexual relationship is for a man to be with a woman on the authority of Jesus, on the authority of Moses in the book of the Old Testament, and by the authority of Paul here. So Paul is not at all addressing the desires that a person has. He's addressing what a person does with those desires. Now let me say this. A person's function sexually is not determined by what they desire. It is determined by how God created them to function. And the scripture says here, man was created to function sexually with a woman, and that function has been violated. So Paul is not at all addressing sexual desires here. He's addressing sexual function. And it's clear that in the beginning, God created them male and female to be with one another, and the two shall be one flesh. It is interesting that this word use or function here, it's only found twice in the Bible, in verse 26 and verse 27 of Romans chapter 1. And outside the Bible, it was used to describe the sexual relationship, the sexual function of a man and of a woman. So here it's the same way it's used in this context. So there's no way that this passage could be misunderstood to be talking about people that were born with a natural desire. Paul is talking about desire in the surrounding verses, but he calls those vile passions. They're degrading and they're causing individuals to dishonor themselves. So these desires are not being carried out the proper way. What is proper is for a man to be with a woman in a sexual relationship within the marriage relationship alone. And that's what the writer of the book of Hebrews describes very clearly in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. He says, marriage is honorable among all. And he's not talking about in that setting a marriage between two men or between two women. He's talking about marriage between a man and a wife. He says it's honorable and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. See, there's nothing wrong with the marriage bed, the sexual relationship between man and woman. It's undefiled, it's pure, it's clean. It's something that God has given. That's the natural function that God has given to the man and to the woman. But anything outside of that, it says that God will judge. So make no mistake, it doesn't matter how people want to twist the scriptures, reinterpret, or even invent interpretations that would apply to situations today. God has designed the sexual relationship to be with men and women, and he's blessed that within the marriage relationship. Anything else will come under God's judgment. So don't let someone come along and tell you what Paul is talking about is people that were born with a natural desire to be with the same sex. That's not at all what the passage even discusses. It's not even considered in this portion of the Word of God. So I pray that you'd be armed with the truth and that you would be ready to give a loving and compassionate defense of the truth of the scripture here.